I want to just talk to you a moment from the Word. And this verse, these two verses have just burned in my heart for you as a church. This is my last trip of the year. I told Ron, I said, apologize, you're giving me my last trip. I need to come. I tried to come twice. I said, I need to come my second a little earlier than my last visit. I had an abscess to tooth and was traveling in Asia and Europe with an abscess tooth for a few weeks. So it's not been my easiest season. But Genesis 1:28 said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And the word multiply, I just can't get it out of my spirit for 2 days over this church. And the Lord would say to this church, you're going to come into a unique time of multiplication. And what I understand as you walk across this decade, there's going to be a fresh clarity in every sight, a fresh clarity of mission. You've known addition. You're going to know multiplication. And the multiplication I'm talking about, yes, it's in the church, but it's in your lives as men and women. I'm going to multiply your efforts. I'm going to multiply your money. I'm going to multiply your strength. I'm going to do things for you that you could not do on your own. You're coming into a season of multiply. And there's going to be a new fruitfulness. You're going to find unusual fruitfulness in the area of children, in the area of pregnancies, in the area of things that have been barren. And I want you to look where you have felt barren in your business, in your lives. I'm going to do it by my spirit and by my grace. My hand is going to come on you, and you will look back in 5 years and realize God just multiplied us. Multiply your efforts. I'm going to multiply your anointing, and you are to expect my multiplication. And what does multiplication come to? It just comes out of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in spirit, fruitfulness in business, fruitfulness in the kingdom. And you're going to look back and say, God multiplied us. And I want you to know I can multiply you under every circumstance. When you look, says the Lord, even in the book of Exodus, no matter what happened there with Pharaoh, I multiplied my people. You look in the church of Acts, I multiplied my people. You look in China, I've multiplied my people. And when I unleash multiplication in my people, when I unleash it in their lives, when I unleash it by my presence, when I unleash it, it is unstoppable, says the Lord. And I want you to know I'm unlocking the multiplication code in your lives. There will be a multiplication of disciples. There will be a multiplication of salvations. There will be a multiplication. And I'm multiplying your career. Talk to you. What is the secret to fruitfulness? I'm not going to talk long, but I'm going to tell you this. Where's multiplying come from? I mean, I look at this church, you're so filled with, like, let's just talk in the kingdom of God for a moment. People like Ron, Shino, others, just tremendous evangelistic gifts. Kenny, I could just go on and on. But if God was getting ready to multiply you, where would it start? Like, from what root do we find this fruit? For 2 days being here in New York, my wife and I were up early, met with her daughter, husband, and kind of just hung around New York and walked around and maybe ate a bite or two too much. But anyway, we had a good time. So if God was going to multiply you, how would it start? Like, multiply his blessings in your marriage. Multiply disciples out of your life. Multiply your business. You know, and the Lord took me to John 15. And obviously we all know the story of abiding in the vine, but I want to look at it not long at all from the perspective of multiplication. And how many of you know life just stinks sometimes? Raise your hand. It's just hard. I mean, we all love Christmas because we kind of try to escape into Christmas. Sometimes it's hard, but life's hard. Soil's hard. Living in New York's not easy. A lot of people, the only people that glorify living in New York are those that don't live here. I mean, it's harder. It rains, your place floods. I mean, it's hard. So I think of Jesus. It said he was a root out of dry ground. Now, I mean, Jesus grew up under brutal Roman occupation. His stepdad died early, At 12, he was a living genius, and he stayed a carpenter until he was 30, smartest kid in the world. Probably raising his brothers and sisters with his mom, and not one of his brothers and sisters believed in him. I mean, how do you grow up like that and just be normal? Like, I mean, the kid was befuddling the Sanhedrin at 12. They would have kept him there. His mom chewed him out for warning his mom and dad and took him home. You don't hear him for 18 years. But when you look in the Hebrew, it means tuber root. And it means a little root that grows off a big root. And the secret to Jesus, yes, he was fully God, which is a help. But the secret to Jesus was this. He stayed rooted in his dad. And no matter what his soil, the death of his stepdad, raising brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. Terrifying betrayal, hunted, hounded, hated, not understood. He bore fruit. And we're going to look in John 15 for like 10, 12 minutes. But I want to take you into John where it says that you're going to bear fruit and fruit that remains and tell you, how do we do it? Jesus says this, and it basically says, he comes in this passage, John 15, 1 through 11, and he talks about branches. And he starts by saying this, I'm the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be more fruitful. Bad news about that is you're going to get cut either way. Like, in other words, the Lord's going to cut on you, going to work on you. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Let me start by saying, I'll examine three things. Let me start by saying, you will never ever be the man or woman you were born to be in any area of your life apart from your vital relationship with Christ. It is impossible. Number one, you'll never have the love you need to be loving without it. Now, Kathy and I have been married 40 years. I know I look 25. That's true, give or take four decades. You live right, eat right, you can look like this one day too. Sorry, I scared you now. And so the fact of it is, like how can we still be in love and best friends? How is it? Because we're both loved by God so much, we can love the other even when the other is unloving. And so, apart from this, that's why Jesus says, I do nothing on my own accord. Like, if my dad's not doing it, I don't do it. Apart from, I'll talk about what this means in a moment. Apart from this, apart from living in harmony with Jesus, remaining, walking in vital union with him, apart from this, I'll never be the dad I want to be, the grandfather I want to be, the minister I want to be, the friend I want to be. Cannot do it. There's just not enough humanity in any of us. We can't love that much, care that much, forgive that much. And so basically, in this passage, it alludes to four branches. And I want to talk about, first of all, the wild branch. Basically says in this that, hey, listen, I'm the vine, my dad is the gardener. And when you look in the Old Testament and understand this, it says in Jeremiah 2:21, I planted you like a choice vine, a sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt and wild vine? What's a wild vine? A wild vine in the Old Testament, very simply, was a vine that was grown outside a vineyard. It had perfect genetics, should have been wonderful, but it was not growing in a vineyard. That means it was outside the walls of a vineyard. There was no one pruning it. There was no gardener. There was no one watering it. And because of that, it just went wild. And let me just tell you this as quickly as I can. I've watched so many people start out well. Saved, loving God. They get hurt. They get mad. They get wounded. And they decide they're going to grow apart from the church. It just never works. It'll never work. You know why? Because it's not just God that determines your growth. It's people. It's your brothers and sisters. People say, oh, you can prophesy. You hear God. Yes, but I could never make it without my brothers. Ron and I have been friends 37 years. Trust him with my life. There's nothing he doesn't know about me. Well, except what I weigh. That's another story. Anyway, I trust him explicitly. I mean, we've walked together through hell, raising kids, pain. I mean, when I was prophesying over the twins today. It seems like just yesterday we were going down the road. Ron says, "By the way, by the way," Ron goes, "We're adopting a kid." I go, "Let's go to Starbucks." He goes, "It's twins." I said, "Let's go to a bar." No, just kidding. It seems like just yesterday, and like when I was holding those little girls, it took me back to when I was holding little Jordan at 4 or 5 weeks old and dedicating him. I never thought I'd live long enough to bury him. I mean, Ron and I have walked through so much together. We need the church. I look at Bruce. I've known Bruce decades. I know Bruce when he was the most famous celibate in all the every nation world. We never thought he'd marry, and Terry saved him. You can't make it alone. Second thing I want to talk about, be real quick here, is the worthwhile branch. Jesus says this: "You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're in the branches. Without me, you can do nothing." When you were born again, the fact of it is, yes, you're given a new name. Yes, you're given new status. You're also given a new nature. You were reconnected with the Trinity. Reconnected supernaturally. We forget that. Like, the Bible has a lot of metaphors: feed on me, drink of me, all this. But in reality, you were, if I was using like a kind of a, like electricity, you were plugged into the Trinity. That means all the power of God, life of God, joy of God, peace of God, grace of God. Like, but how do you access that? So when Jesus says, remain in me, he says, remain in vital relationship with me. And that, how do we do that? It's through the spiritual disciplines. Every time we pray, every time we wait, every time we pray in tongues, every time we hear a sermon, every time we come to church, every time, what happens? We access the life of God. We access the joy of God. We access the Spirit of God. We access the voice of God. I mean, it affects all of our chemical levels, the love of God. It affects psychologically how we feel and how we see. So what does Jesus say? If you don't stay close to me, if you don't stay in my presence, he goes on to say later in John, it's the secret to my joy. Beloved, life's hard. Buried people I loved and faced death. And I mean, I've been dying. My wife's been dying multiple times. You pretty much got to die almost to be part of my family. I mean, okay, I get that. Doctor says, you're good as gone, you know, because I've been there. Your wife's cancer's in her brain. I mean, listen, beloved, how do you walk through that? Him. It's my wife and my close covenant friends like Ron and God that I'm here today. But I'm close to him. On my worst day, he has joy for me. On my worst day, peace flows into me. On my hardest day, his life flows into me. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, and there's plenty of things. It's him. Jesus, if you stay close to me, everything's possible. If you don't stay close to me, nothing's possible. He says, this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I meet two types of Christians, quite honestly, word Christians and spirit Christians. The twain don't normally meet. There are those that kind of know their Bible and read their Bible a lot, but they rarely just stay in God's presence and enjoy him. There are those that love his presence, don't care much for his word. But when you put the two together, when you're a student of God's word and a lover of Jesus, all things are possible. Beloved, it's possible. Because when I'm in the presence of Jesus and I'm reading his word and I'm speaking his word and his power is flowing off to me, it's going to result in fruit. And I'll get there in a moment. And he says this, as the Father's loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. What's that mean? Does that mean we earn God's love? No. That means when we obey his commandments to pray and spend time with him and walk in his presence, that love just flows in us. To be loved by God. Listen, beloved, I've been loved by an astonishing woman for decades. Loved by my kids. It is nothing in comparison to being loved by God. And until you experience that, you're going to expect some human to do for you what only God can do. You're going to burn them out and disappoint yourself. It's just a fact. Only he can love you like this. Why are we so unloving? Because we're not loved enough. It's just the truth. And Jesus said, God says, if you hate, you're not loved. If you hate, you're not really loved by me right. Now, two more things. I'm going to get to the key thing. Then he says this, the world-changing brands. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Now, when you study the great scholars, the fruit speaking of here is not simply the fruit of the Spirit. You know, patience, love, joy. It's the fruit of disciples. But Jesus said this is, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you and I gave you an appointment. You look at the Greek, I placed, that's why I love the good doctrine, his wife. I know them some, I haven't talked to them, had a conversation with them in the last few years much. But I know them enough to know they don't choose where they live, God chooses. You see, I didn't choose who I'm married. I didn't choose where I went to church. He chose. God said, listen, I chose you and I put you in New York. I put you in this church. I put you in your profession that you could bear fruit that would last forever. I put you there. So filled with Christ, so filled with love, so filled with joy that the people around you, no matter what level of faith they may claim or do not claim, would see it and find it irresistible. That's why I did it. I put you there by my Spirit, by my power, by my life, by my grace. I'm going to give you one more point that I want to talk corporately a second. It says in John 15:6, if you don't remain close to me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. You can be in the right church, married to the right spouse, have the right friends, have the right job, and wither. And here's what I find in churches. I find people that learn to abide in the branches but forget to abide in the vine. They go to small groups. They go to pastoring. You know, they go counseling. You know, they go to, you know, cleansing streams two or three times. They go through it all. But they begin to wither in that church because they're abiding in the church. They're abiding in the people, not in the vine. You can be in the perfect church. You can have the perfect friends. You can be in the perfect relationships. You can have it all. You say, well, if I just married, I might not wither. If you're withering single, you'll wither married. If I had a different job, no. What determines whether or not we wither is not who we're with. It's not what we're doing. It's abiding in the vine. Someone said, I'm dry. It's not a season. It's a choice. Because Jesus says, if you follow me, there's a well in you. No, that's what he says, beloved. I mean, I've walked through enough hell to tell you, if I'm dry, I chose it. It's because I've been abiding in my circumstances, calling them Christ. They changed, and now I'm dry. It's just true. That is why in the hardest places of the world, that's why I preach like the Jordan Lewis, we fund people in the hardest places of the world, risking their lives. Man, oh my God, we could tell you story after story after story. There's no happy circumstance for them to abide in. I remember being on the Syrian border, meeting with a family of ISIS that just cut out the tongue of their son, then tortured him to death for his faith. Another son had been blown to pieces in the bread line. He was illiterate. She could read. They had no passport. Their town had been blown up. I was sitting on a concrete floor on a blanket while they made me share their last meal with them. She'd already led 100 people to Christ, him 60. They had no future. They had no passport. And we're talking back, an interpreter and it. I go, how are you doing with your son? He goes, well, you know, ISIS sent in the picture. They tortured his son to death and ripped out his tongue and made him eat his Bible and then machine gunned all his disciples. Shot his brother to pieces. He crawled out the window and was still evangelizing in Syria. The dad said, well, Pastor, I was pretty sad when I lost my second son. He said, well, I was just dreaming the other night. I said, what'd you dream? He said, huh. I had this strange dream. He said, I saw Jesus. He was on his throne, and people in white robes were dancing around him. This martyr, of course, in Revelation, he goes, I saw my son, and now I'm happy. How is that? He don't have any counselor, no greet. He has no future, no passport. You know what it is to be in the world without a passport? Of course, that broken couple now has thousands of converts all over the Middle East, and God bless Jordan and Lewis Mission Fund for taking care of them. How, like, where's that come from? Like, how do you, like, overcome that? When my daughter had triplets a few years ago, and she had them in 4 hours, and no C-section, nothing. She goes, "Pops, it's nothing." One of the girls we were counseling on the Syrian border, when they blew her house up, she was running out with her toddlers, one in each hand, pregnant with twins. Labor came. She grabbed the tree, pushed them out, cut the cord, picked them up, and ran for her life. How do you walk through that? That's the power. Your circumstances don't have to wither you. Your pain doesn't have to wither you. Do you understand? Your greatest platform is not when you're on top, it's when you're under. I mean, Paul and Silas in prison, in hell, the prisoners were listening. We're different. Circumstances don't wither us. Politics don't separate us. We're different because our roots are not in our country or our circumstances or our ethnicity. It's in Christ, ultimately. Ultimately, it's in Him, beloved. This is my closing thought. There's this profound vision in Zechariah 4, 1 through 7, 11 through 14. You can turn there later. And in this vision, the people have come back from just basically being shattered, and Assyria's wiped out 10 of the tribes, ethnically cleansed and forcibly deported. Now Judah's been shattered. After 70 years in Babylonian captivity, Babylon's overthrown by the Persian Empire, etc., and they can go home. About 43,000, 44,000 came, it's not in front of me, go home. And then through some political maneuvers, they're forbidden to keep building the temple. It's been 17 years, and two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, come. Now watch this. It's going to show you the key to a multiplying church. You get to Zechariah 4, and they see this big Jewish candlestick. And that's, of course, a picture of Israel, really the church now, the candlestick of God in the earth. And there's these two olive trees, one on each side of it. And these, and out of these giant olive trees, kind of similar, branches, vine, olive tree, speaks of anointing. Watch this. Out of each of these olive trees, oil is only coming out of one branch. And out of one branch, on each side of the candlestick, oil is flowing. And the prophet goes like, "What's this mean?" And the Lord says, not by power, but by my spirit, I'm going to move. I'm going to finish this temple. And then he goes, "Okay, what are the olive branches like? What's this deal?" God says, "Well, I'll tell you what the olive branches are. Not the olive trees, the branches." He said, "These olive branches are two humans that I've anointed to fuel what I'm doing on the earth. One was Zerubbabel, the governmental leader. The other was Joshua." You see, that was the Old Testament paradigm. Now, there were Deborahs, and there were Moses, and there's Miriam, and, you know, there was Isaiah, and there's a prophetess Huldah. And typically, maybe in a generation, one or two people would fuel everything. That isn't the New Testament paradigm. What if there was an olive tree where every branch had oil? What if in a paradigm there was a church or a people somewhere so abiding in the vine that the candlestick of their corporate life, the candlestick of the church in New York, in each church being its own candle, what if there was a place where it wasn't like this one or two or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 people feel. Could there be to a place where there was a people so abiding in the vine and so bearing fruit that the level of, what's the right word? Light. The level ignited. In my hope, beloved, as we walk into the next decade together, is that what God's called us to do here will multiply and bear fruit and burn at a level of brightness we've never known. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your people. Multiply them in their careers, their relationships, their friendships, their marriages, their finances. And I pray we would come in to a season of multiplication, of disciples, of conversions, of changed lives. Lord, nothing on earth can stop your multiplication. Persecution, hardest, none of it. Just say, Lord, just raise your hands and say this, Lord Jesus, I receive multiplication. I receive multiplication. Amen.